You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, May 9th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, We Need Mothers with Attitude.
Let's go back in our Bible, please, to Genesis chapter 20, or Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. May I say thank you so much for praying for me. I do appreciate it. Boy, I have drank elderberry juice after elderberry juice. I have eaten charcoal. I've done everything I can, to be able to take care of a situation. And so, but thank you so much for praying for me. I do appreciate it so very, very much. You know, charcoal, we use that overseas a lot. If somebody gets food poisoning, we'll take charcoal, and that helps, and that has helped me today as well. We should have did that with you first thing, so we should have did, and we could have seen if it worked with you. That's what we could have did, and he'd be walking around with black teeth saying, thank you, preacher, but thank you so much for praying. I do appreciate it. I went home, drank 3 gallons of NyQuil, and went to bed. But thank you for praying. That helped too. And I did a lot of other stuff too. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, and Adam, it says, called his wife's name Eve because, watch what it says, she was the mother of all living. You know, mothers have a great responsibility. Now, I realize that this morning was Mother's Day, but I wanted to kind of hit on some things tonight I thought would be a help and would be a blessing as we talk about mothers with attitude. Have you ever seen somebody with an attitude? I mean, you know, you walk in the store and you see a man that is losing his cool, and all of a sudden somebody points to them or that individual and says, ooh, he's got attitude. You know, you see somebody that is, and most of the time when you talk about somebody that has an attitude, it's because of a wrong disposition that they're embracing in their life. But the word attitude really means this. It means the spirit. It's talking about your spirit. And so we're going to talk about that, which is the spirit tonight, in the way that we handle things, our attitude. And by the way, everybody has an attitude. You'll have a good attitude, you'll have a good spirit, you'll have a bad attitude, you'll have a bad spirit, you'll have a moderate attitude or a moderate spirit, and so everybody's going to face that in their life. Matter of fact, it was Gypsy Smith that said, if we're ever going to beat the devil, it must start with the hand that rocks the cradle. That's pretty good. If we're ever going to beat the devil, it must start with the hand that rocks the cradle. There was Lord Shaftesbury said this. He said, give me a generation of Christian mothers and I will undertake the change of the face of England in 12 months. That's pretty good. And so it's very important that we understand that moms have a lot of authority when it comes to that which is rearing the children. Now, I want to give you some attitudes tonight. Statement number one, there's the attitude about deception. The attitude about deception. Notice in your Bible, if you will, go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Book of Genesis chapter 3 here. The Bible talks about that which is the attitude that Eve had towards what was taking place in her life. In Genesis chapter 3, you'll see these verses here. The Bible says, the woman said unto the serpent, it says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree, it says, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she knew exactly what God had said. The Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And so what was he doing? He was trying to deceive Eve. By the way, did a good job of it and did deceive that which was Eve. All right. So there is the attitude of deception. Now, what Eve should have done was this. She should have submitted herself. The Bible teaches that Eve was created as an helpmeet to her husband. An helpmeet to the husband simply means this, that she allows him to govern her, that she allows him, if you will, to be her authority. That's why you ought to be careful as a young lady who you marry. Don't rush into that thing. Because once you rush into that thing, it is until death do us part, all right? And so we have to understand tonight that Eve had that which was an attitude about deception. Here's what she's doing. She was believing that which the devil said. The devil said unto her, ye shall not surely die. What's he doing? He's getting her to question that which is the word of God. Now, we've got to be careful that we do not get deceived into believing something that's not true. That's why God gave Eve a protector. That's why God gave Eve that which was an authority in her life. Why? Simply because that authority, her husband in her life, was going to spend his life protecting her. What she should have did is she should have ran to Adam and said, now wait a minute, the serpent has come to me and the serpent is telling me this, and is it true? That's what she should have did, but she did not do that. She was succumbed by that which was the devil's temptation. Now be careful, the devil makes things look good that are not good. The devil make a book look good that you think that your children ought to read, but if you first read it before they read it, you find out it's not good. Have you ever gone out and you purchased a DVD only to find out it had something on there you did not want your children to see? Come on. Have you ever gotten in somebody else's vehicle and all of a sudden they start to turn on some music that you don't want your children to identify with? Have you ever had somebody, look, you are supposed to protect your children, sir. You're supposed to protect your children, ma'am. And the Bible teaches that Eve was deceived. All right, so what does that mean? That means that the blinders was pulled over top of her eyes and she was not able to see that which perhaps Adam himself did see. And so what was her attitude about that which was deception? Well, to her it wasn't a big deal. She just decided that she was going to do what the devil had for her. And no lady ought to do what the devil has for you. Statement number one, here's what we see. We see the attitude, if you will, about deception. Statement number two, the attitude or the spirit about carnality. You'll remember reading about that which is Abraham and his wife Sarah. Notice in your Bible Genesis chapter 18. And in Genesis chapter 18, you'll see here around verse 9, you'll see that the Bible talks about that which is Abraham and that which is Sarah. The Bible talks about how Sarah was in the lip of the tent. Now we understand this. This is after that which was Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. This was after Abraham and Sarah had prayed for a long time that God would allow them to have children, and because of her lack of faith, she went over to Hagar and brought in Hagar onto her husband. And that was a total lack of faith. That was a cardinal type of decision. That is carnality to the extreme. But I want you to see something here. Here you'll see in Genesis chapter 18 that Abraham, the Bible says, and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. The Bible says, and it ceased not to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I am waxed old. Shall I have pleasure? And it says, my Lord being, watch it, old also. So she's talking about her husband, saying, look, he's old, I'm old. There's no way we can have children. There's no way that we'll be able. And she had such a cardinal view, she did not believe that God could answer prayer. Did you know most people that have a carnality about them, where they're always looking at the things rather than what God can do, most of the time they don't believe God for what he can do. That's why God said to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So I'm not supposed to look at the thing, look, the things that you can touch, the things that you can hold, those things one day will be no more. But that which is incorruptible seed, that which is the seed that you sow that's heavenly, that seed, you can't touch it and you can't feel it, but that seed will last forever. Here's what Sarah was doing. Sarah was only looking at the impossibility, but we have a God that is the God of the impossible. So what should she have done? She should not have, I'm talking about mamas that have attitude. Here, Eve should have had an attitude. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the serpent that God has allowed to be in that which is the Garden of Eden. I am not going to be deceived. I am not going to embrace that. I know what has been said. I do have a husband. She should have went to her husband for protection, but she did not go to her husband for protection. And that husband there, dear lady, is there to protect you. Be very, very careful. You say, but he's making a wrong decision. Okay, so what do you do? Do you stand up and help him to make a right decision? Then if your decision is wrong, God hits both of your heads? Lady came to me one time and said, "Preacher, what do I do? My husband's not a good businessman. He's about to make a tragic business mistake. What do I do?" I said, "Duck. Just duck. Go ahead and let God hit him." Sometimes, you listen to me, that's the only way that us men ever learn. But no man likes a nagging wife. You know, you have somebody that's always, "Well, you're quiet, ladies. We should bring Vestal back out." But you think about this. You think about, here is that which is Eve, and she made a decision, but her decision was based on that which was the deception of the devil. You think about that which is Sarah, and she had the wrong attitude. She's trying to answer God's will for her own life. So what does she do? So she cannot have a child, so she brings in Hagar. What does she do? She outruns the Lord. We are not supposed to outrun the Lord. We're supposed to trust God. We're not supposed to be cargo. Well, I tell you what, I need a job, and so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sacrifice the principles of God so that I can get the job. And here's, we're looking at the job rather than the principles of God. Sarah had decided, here's what I'm going to do. My husband needs a child. Here's the only way out. Listen, she looked at it in the wrong way. And then when God was going to answer her prayer, here she is. She's in the lip of the tent and she begins to laugh. She did not even believe God in old age. She began to laugh. Listen, we have to decide tonight that we're going to have an attitude about something. By the way, you've seen people have a wrong attitude, and I'm saying tonight it's about time we have a right attitude about some things. Have a right attitude tonight about the world trying to deceive you. Have a right attitude tonight about that which is deception that comes into life, and say, "Look, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go that way." Have a right attitude tonight about that which is a carnality type of lifestyle, a carnality type of decision. Let's have an attitude tonight that says, "I can wait on God. I'm not in a hurry. I can wait on God. God can answer prayer. God can come through simply because He's the God that's an everlasting Father, and He can answer prayer now. And He can answer prayer in the future." Understand tonight that you can wait on a God that will come through for you. Yeah. Oh, statement number one, there's an attitude of carnality. Statement number one, there's the attitude of deception. Statement number two, attitude of carnality. Watch this, if you will. There's that attitude. I love this. There's the attitude of prayer. Here you have that which was a lady that was Sarah that did not trust God, that did not think that God could answer the prayer. But then you have another example in the Old Testament, that's Hannah. Hannah trusted God. By the way, she named her son Samuel, which means this, asked him of the Lord. That's a pretty good way to name your son when you know that God answered prayer. It was the time to go up into the temple, and her husband had gone up into the temple, if you will, or gone about to go up into the temple. And Hannah found herself there, and she was weeping, and she was crying so much that the man of God stepped out and said, "Listen, are you drunk? Have you taken strong drink? You ought not to come into the house of God that way," and was rebuking to her. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And Hannah went not up." And this is after God had given her a man child. This is after God had given her a son. The Bible says, "And Hannah went not up, so that she said unto her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned.'" And it says, "And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." So the whole thing that she had promised God was this: "God, if you answer my prayer, then it is yours." That would be a good way to go to God. "God, if you answer my prayer, then anything that you..." Come on. But yet I know parents that if your children surrender to the mission field, you want to hold them back. If they surrender to be a preacher, you want to hold them back. If they want to work on a bus route and get involved, or get involved in a choir, we try and hold them back. We are not supposed to do that. And if we had an attitude of prayer, when you give your child to God through prayer, God is the one that can work in their life, and God is the one that can change their life. What do I do? I decide that I'll be like Hannah. I decide that I'll be like her, and I'll go to God, and I'll ask God to work in that life and change that life forever. Amen. Wait a minute. Here's, you got an attitude of deception, an attitude of carnality, an attitude of prayer. Let me give you just one more and I'm done tonight. An attitude of trust. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and she says, being the wife about the husband, I just can't trust him. I don't know how many times I've talked to couples and that which is the husband says about the wife, I just can't trust her. I don't know how many times I've talked to children and they say that my parents have broken a sacred trust. And it's hard for me ever to trust them again. I love the story of Jochebed. Jochebed, in the book of Exodus chapter 1, you'll see in verse 22, Exodus chapter 1, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, he shall be cast into the river, and every daughter, ye shall save alive. And so there was that which was a decree that was passed out, that all of those that were born of the male stature would be cast into that which was the river. But Jochebed saw that she had a goodly child. Jochebed saw that, hey, wait a minute, my child can do something. My child can be greatly used to God. What did she do? She went down to the river brink. What did she do? She hid the child among the flags. What did she do? She walked away giving her child to the Lord. That's called trust. Trust. Sometimes we have to back away and just trust God. By the way, as your child gets older, how much are you going to trust God and how much are you going to shelter your child from that which is the will of God for their life? You know, all I am with my boys and my little girl, and all my wife is to our boys and our little girl, all we are stewards. That's all we are. We've got Jonathan for a little while, Joshua for a little while, Jared for a little while, Rebecca for a little while. I have and she has a God-given responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to make them strong arrows for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when they go out, they shoot straight, so that when they go out, they know the way to go, so that when they go out, they perform the task that God has laid down before them. And I have a responsibility to help them to know how to be an adult while they're a child. Isn't it amazing when the Lord was 12 years of age that God treated him as that which was an adult to make adulthood decisions? Come on. Here's what we see tonight. We see that Jochebed, what does she do? She went down to the river brink. What does she do? She put that which was Moses in a basket, an ark, the Bible says, and she floated him in among the flags. Then what takes place with Pharaoh and with Pharaoh's daughter coming down to the river brink? She looks and she hears and she obtains the child and she secures the child and she brings the child in, needs to find somebody to raise the child, and gets Jochebed. Now that is amazing. So that shows me that once I give somebody to God, God has the power to give them back. So many times, here's what we think. Well, I tell you what, I'm raising my kid for God. And if my kid goes to the mission field, then I'll lose them forever. You don't lose them forever. If you give them to God, God has the power and God has the ability to bring them back and be a blessing to you, not just from a distant land, but close up in old age. Listen to me tonight. Here you'll see that Jochebed was somebody that decided, here's what I'm going to do. I'm simply going to trust God. I'm going to step out and I'm going to obey God. You know, sometimes it's hard to trust. We were living, in Louisiana at the time, and Jonathan was just a little guy. And so I put him up on the counter and I said, Jonathan, here's what I want you to do. I want you to jump into my arms. Just jump into my arms. And he took flight, jumped into my arms, and it was fun for him. Matter of fact, he said, wee, the whole time he was flying. I backed up a little bit and I said, Jonathan, I want you to jump into my arms. Just jump into my arms. And he took flight. He didn't say we as much. I think a fear filled his heart, but he took flight and landed in my arms. I backed up just a little bit and I said, Jonathan, a little bit, nothing. I said, Jonathan, I want you to jump in my arms. And he hesitated and then he just did not do it. Now, why? Because there is a breach there of, okay, trusting the one. Can I do it? Can I, trusting himself, can I jump that far? Trusting the one is about to catch. Can he catch me? There's a lot of trust that was there. Now, wait a minute, watch me. Did you know you can trust the Lord? He'll never let you down. David said, I once was young and now I'm old, but I never seen God's people forsaken or seed begging for bread. So you can always trust him. If you can trust him in young age, you can trust him in old age. If you can trust him for a little decision, you can trust him for a big decision. You can always trust him. I was flying out of Detroit, Michigan, and I was heading down to that, which was from Detroit, I was heading over to Tokyo, and I needed that $2,500, and that lady called me from California and said, Preacher, I want you to know that God will not let me sleep all night long, and I've got $2,000 I'd like to give you, and I said, it would not hurt my feelings if you made it out for $2,500, and she did. Now, but wait a minute, what is that? That's simply a trust. That's simply a trust. You know, you can take and trust God. And sometimes it's, watch this. When you trust God for the little things, it helps you to get a greater trust to trust God for the bigger things. But if we never start trusting him for the little things, then we'll never trust him for the big things. Let me give you an example. Miss Wells, come here if you will. And let me give you an example if I may. And so here's what we've done. We have, come here if you will and hold my hand. And all right, here we go. And Brother and Mrs. Cavanaugh, you come and you stand right there and hold hands and just face me if you will. Now watch, here's what we've done. When we were young, and that wasn't too long ago, but when we were young, we're still young, that's right. And when we were young, we looked out and we saw a godly man and we saw a godly lady. And we thought, we'd really like for our children to be that way. So we'd go up to them and we would examine them. We would look at them. We wanted to see if we found anything that might not work. And so we looked at them and we stared at them. And we wanted to see, boy, they're godly and they go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And Wednesday night, and they're soul winners. They work on a bus route in Sunday school classes. And wow, boy, I tell you what, one day, and we'll say that he's a preacher and a preacher's wife. And oh, we thought, boy, that's one day. That's what we like. That's what we like to have. Well, we like to have our children serve God. And so we backed up all the way, figuring out where they came from. Well, we saw that they did that, and they did that, and they did that, and they did that, and they did that. And they did that. And one day we're going to be as old as they are. But as a young couple, we want to rear children the way they raised their children. And then what we did is we just started taking the same steps they took. Now stay with me. We started asking advice from them. We started taking some steps in the right direction. We found out they took their children soul winning when they were young. That's how come their children are soul winners when they're old. We found out that when they came to church, they enjoyed church. We found out that when they came to church, they enjoyed singing. We found out that they didn't rob God, they gave their tithes and offerings. We found out that when they was in church, they were ones that set the right example in their dress and their attitude and their words and their disposition and their trust. We found out all those things. Now, wait a minute. And so we took our children down a route where we could get the same end result. Listen to me. The same end result that what they got. That's how come we go to church someplace, that man of God get out there on that platform, I'd hit those boys and I'd say, looky there, there's a man of God. Looky there. Looky there, there's that man of God. Boy, I tell you what, he'd begin to preach. I'd say, amen. Yeah. Amen. Preach it. Yeah. Amen. Now, why did I do that? Because I wanted my boys to understand that, hey, wait a minute, there's something good about to happen. And there's something good going down on that platform. And so what did I do? I helped them to be able to make decisions in their life based on what we wanted them to become. Come on. Now, I'm going to show you something, though. Here's what the devil tries to do. We're trying to walk down that path. And the devil says, no, wait a minute. You got the wrong attitude about this thing. Devil says, hey, correct your attitude. Listen, don't you know that they're rearing children and those children are not going to have any fun and those children are not, they're boxed in and the devil says, I like to deceive you and I like to help you to get off track. Come on. So he throws out things of deception. He tries to get us not to trust. He tries to get us to become unloyal. Stay with me. He tries to get us not to pray. He tries to get us not to believe. And so what do? We just kept stepping. Just keep stepping. Come on. Look. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you, honey. If you find somebody that's got a good product, I learned this years ago. If you find somebody that's got a good product, then I'd figure out how they got the product. That's what I would do. I wouldn't play around. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to a counselor and he's teaching me how to have a happy marriage, but he's been divorced 5 times. I don't think I'd do that. Well, I'm going to go to a counselor, and boy, this counselor, he's going to show me how to rear his kids. He needs you to rear his kids. But I'm going to go to a counselor, and he's going to show me how to rear kids. But yet that one didn't turn out, and that one did. Hey, listen, find somebody that's got the right product. Plug in there. Get into a place like Parkside Baptist Church. Just decide you'll plug in. Why? The product is good. You ever see somebody with attitude? Huh? You ever see? There's been times when I've had to correct my boys, and I've had to put my finger in their chest. I said, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever do that. Now, I love you, but if you want to live, don't you ever do that again. Now, what is that? That's a daddy with attitude. There's been times when I've told my boys and I've told my daughter, I said, look, man, it is fun. We ought to enjoy church. Let's have a good time. Let's go to church. And boy, preacher's up there and we're smiling and we're having a good time. And now, wait, what is that? That's attitude. That's attitude. You know, there's been times when I tell them the joke and I can't get it all the way out because I've already thought of the punchline and we're not going there. Attitude. Attitude. Listen, tonight I'm saying this. I'm saying that we need some mamas with attitude. We need some daddies with attitude tonight. What type of attitude? The attitude not to be deceived. The attitude not to be somebody that embraces carnality. The attitude to be somebody of prayer. The attitude of simply just trusting him. And if we do that, you're going to find out that you're going to enjoy your Christian life. Amen. You're going to enjoy the walk all the way through. If you just decide tonight, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step out and I'm going to be that one. Mark it off, mark it off, mark it off, mark it off. By the way, I'm not just talking about child rearing tonight. I'm also talking about parents, and I'm also talking about grandparents. I'm also talking about that individual tonight. If you ever want to become what you should be, then don't get sidetracked about anything else. You know, when you go soul winning, all of a sudden an airplane goes over. People that are seasoned soul winners would tell you, ignore the airplane and pay attention. Now, why? Because as you're sidetracked, listen to me, it gets everybody else sidetracked. And so if you stay on track and you just decide with your, and it doesn't matter what temptations come. Let temptations come. They're going to come. But you keep your kid on the right path. You keep yourself on the right path. And as you keep yourself... If you keep yourself on the right path and you keep that kid on the right path and you keep going down the right path, eventually you're going to end up at the good result. Amen. Boy, if I was coming to church tonight and I didn't enjoy the message, I'd smile anyway. If I was in church tonight and that preacher said everything against my grain, I'd amen. If for no other reason, for the sake of my kid. Because my child needs to see that I am heading for a good end result.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.